Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. How's everyone this morning?
Good.
Good?
Smoky.
Smoky, I know. So if you hear that my voice sounds croaky, I have not only seasonal allergic asthma, a cold that I picked up when I was in New Mexico that then got exacerbated by the smoke and all of that. So I'll croak my way along, and we need to keep in prayers all of the people who are affected by our wildfires here in Wyoming. And I would also urge that you pray for others throughout this country who are being affected by such things as hurricanes. And the news lately has been a great deal of information on my hometown of Asheville, North Carolina, which has suffered extensively as a result of the hurricane. And now Florida is in line to be pummeled this week. So I would urge you to contribute to Lutheran World Relief. You can go online and do that, and then click over to the disaster preparedness. Everything that you give to Lutheran World Relief will go directly to individuals who need it. Administrative costs are already covered through other means. Or you'll find that there are lots of aid organizations that are helping out there. Of course, we have various entities that are trying to take care of fire relief, one of them being the Johnson County Fire Relief Fund. So one thing that I can urge you to do is to contribute some donations to our basement sale and to also come and do some shopping at the basement sale. That will be Friday, October the 25th from noon to 6, and Saturday, October the 26th, 8 to 3. Half of the proceeds will go to the Johnson County Fire Relief Fund. So we are not pricing items. We're just asking that you give your donation. So I urge you to start bringing items starting on October the 17th. For the youth, they can bring it at the next youth night. And so we will be storing those downstairs and getting things all set. So we're going to need people to help to organize items for that sale and to do some cleanup afterward. So you'll be hearing more about that. The other thing that you need to remember is that next week we are not meeting here for worship. Instead, we will be over at Union Congregational at 11 o'clock to celebrate with them the 140th anniversary of Union Congregational. So we're having a historic service. We're urging people to dress up in historic costume of the 1880s, 1890s, if you have it. Otherwise, your Sunday best. Women are encouraged to wear hats, things like that. Afterward, there will be a potluck with the church's signature dish of chicken and noodles. There will be gluten-free noodles available for those who need them. And it's a potluck, so bring anything that you think would go along well with chicken and noodles. And I was also thinking, and I want to make sure that I'm right on this, that next week the Legion will be having breakfast. Is that right, Jim? Jim, will the American Legion be doing breakfast next week?
The American Legion, are they serving next week? Are they serving breakfast next week?
It'd be the second Sunday of the month.
Which would be
next week.
Yeah.
So what I'm recommending, since we're not meeting here, is that we go over to the American Legion and have breakfast together around 9 o'clock. How does that sound? Mm-hmm. We did that once before, and it was kind of fun. I never have a chance to go over there for breakfast, and their breakfast is wonderful.
It is.
So why don't we think about doing that? We'll post signs to remind you if you happen to show up. So let's go over to the Legion for breakfast at 9 o'clock next Sunday, and then we can go over to Union Congregational and celebrate with them and have a potluck. So lots of food next Sunday. All right, you won't have to plan for dinner. You'll have eaten so many times. All right, our other announcements.
I have there's just a few things of coffee left on that buy one, get one free.
Okay.
So a few bags left.
All right. So you may want to go shopping during our fellowship time for our discounted coffee. Our food pantry volunteers for tomorrow are Renee Tiller, Greg Klingler, and Rebecca Edstrom. On Tuesday at 10 o'clock, we will have Bible study here, The Purpose-Driven Life. So we invite you to come and join to find out what God's purpose for your life is. The historic service next Sunday, and also next Sunday at 2 o'clock, we have our church council meeting. In addition, because it's the first Sunday of the month, we acknowledge birthdays, and we have no anniversaries this month. But our birthdays for this month, on October 5th, was Addison Bettinger. On the 14th, Aelita Neustadt. On the 16th, Scott Madsen. On the 18th, we have Pepper Neustadt. On the 23rd, Chris Johns. And also on the 23rd, Ann Gilbert. Am I missing anyone? Then let's pray for those who have October birthdays. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of these individuals who are part of our faith community. Be with them as they celebrate another birthday. Be with them during the course of this year, whatever they may encounter, to walk in the ways that you set before them. So surround them with your grace, your mercy, and your love. Let them feel your constant guidance as they walk with you during this upcoming year. We ask all things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do we have any other announcements?
I am starting to organize a baby shower for Erica Winker. That'll be around November 17th, maybe, here downstairs. I'm just starting the thought process, so just wanted to plant that seed for anybody else who might be interested to attend. So everyone would be invited.
Okay. And the other thing that we wanted to urge you to do is to sign up for youth night and confirmation dinners, because I don't think anyone's signed up, have they?
I sent out a reminder, and I have had a lot of people sign up on the parents' side, but if anyone wants to make a meal for the youth night, the sign-up is on Sign-Up Genius, and so I'm happy to do that for you if you want to just contact me or somehow just get that message to you.
All right, so contact Tracy if you have an interest in that. Of course, if you can't do it, you want to make a financial contribution, she'll take that as well. Because when no one signs up, the alternative is pizza or sandwiches. So we need a little fun going for that as well. Yes?
To piggyback on that, if anyone has Thrivent insurance or annuities or whatever it is for Thrivent, you realize you can get $250 twice a year.
Mm-hmm. Or once, depending on who you are.
So like you're doing a fundraiser downstairs, someone can put in for that. Youth group, you can put in for that. Mm-hmm. For the pot, I mean, there's all kinds of things. If you need creativity, I'll help you with that. But, and then they also have, every quarter you can donate money back to the church. Mm-hmm. That's in your group. I don't know if people do that or not.
Yeah, Thrivent Action Grants are something we need to think about, those of us who do have Thrivent. It depends on what you have as to whether you're allowed one action grant or two action grants a year. I'm allowed one because I just have a Roth with them. But if you have insurance, I believe you have two. So two people so far have put in to provide assistance for our basement sale. But, yeah, if you are interested, if you have Thrivent and you're interested in finding a way to use that money, it's $250 of free money. Why not? Yeah,
it
comes in a little gift card, and we take care of it. So, I'm not one to pass up free money, are you? Okay, so that's another thought. If you need to hear more about Thrivent Action Grants, we will let you know. Yeah, there are several of us who've done it. It's really easy once you get it set up. Okay, anything else? If not, please stand as you're able to join in the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Amen. Let us confess our sin and come to God for healing. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have honored you with our lips, but have harmed our neighbors with our tongues. The cravings of war within us cause conflicts and disputes. In our desire to be first, we make distinctions among ourselves. We place the needs of the poor and the suffering last. In your great mercy, forgive us our sins. Draw near to us with grace in time of need, and turn us to follow in the way of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God promises to forgive our iniquity and to remember our sin no more. By grace, You have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, the source of eternal healing, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, number 807. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Wash.
sovereign God, you have created us to live in loving community with one another. Form us for life that is faithful and steadfast, and teach us to trust like little children, that we may reflect the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The first reading is from Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24. Genesis 2 stresses that people are not meant to live in isolation, but in relationship. Out of love for humanity, God creates them male and female to provide companionship for each other and to become with each other one flesh. The Hebrew words used here are ish, man, and isha, woman. The Lord God said, "It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought to them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 8 responsively. Our Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You, whose glory is chanted above the heavens, out of the mouths of infants and children, you have set up a fortress against your enemies, to silence the foe and avenger.
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses.
What are mere mortals that you should be mindful of them?
Yet you have made them little less than divine. With glory and honor you crown them.
You have made them ruler of the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet.
All flocks and cattle, even the wild beasts of the field.
The birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and chapter 2, 5 through 12. Quoting from the Psalms, this passage from Hebrews emphasizes that Jesus, the one through whom God created everything and who sits at God's right hand, is also the one who experienced human suffering and death in order to blaze the path of salvation for us. A reading from Hebrews. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's every being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majestic of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angels, but someone has testified somewhere. What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. The word of the Lord.
Jesus, they asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? He answered them, what did Moses command you? They said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her. But Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Does everyone have a copy of James 5?
Yes.
There's some in the back, some in the front. Share with your neighbor. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I know, if you didn't come last week thinking that we were going to end with James 5 last week, welcome back. We're concluding this week. We had a special service last week in celebration of creation and the blessing of animals, so we are turning to James 5. As I said in the beginning, James is a very short book of the Bible, only 5 chapters long. And so what has James been all about? James has been telling us how to grow as mature Christians. He has been pointing out behavior that he saw in the people of the day that was not the behavior that he expected of followers of Christ. And so he's been giving all sorts of admonitions. And they really come down to two things, right? Love God, love neighbor. So this is his concluding words. He begins with what they titled in this particular Bible, the warning to rich oppressors. Come now, you rich people, weep and wait for the miseries that are coming to you. Your riches have rotted, and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have rusted, and their rust will be evidence against you, and it will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure during the last days. Does this sound familiar? It sounds familiar because it echoes what Jesus said when he was talking first to the rich young man who said, well, what should I do in order to earn the kingdom? And it's, well, what have you commanded? What have you been commanded to do? So that's Mark chapter 10. The rich young man says, well, I've been doing all the things that I'm supposed to do, right? And Jesus said, yeah, that's what you've been doing. Says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And what was the rich young man's response? Teacher, I have kept all of these since my youth. And Jesus looked at him. He looked at him with love. And he said, there's one more thing you need to do. Go and sell everything that you own and give it to the poor. And the rich young man went away sad because he had much wealth. And Jesus told him how hard it is to have wealth and to enter into the kingdom of God. And his disciples said, well, if the rich aren't saved, then who can be? Jesus' response was, for mortals it's impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible. He was telling how difficult it is when you have the feeling that you're self-sufficient to turn to God and realize that God is the one who owns all things and gives all things. Laying up treasure in the wrong place. Jesus has talked about that too, hasn't he? How we tend to store up treasure that can be eaten by moths and that can rust and that can be stolen. And Jesus said to store up treasure in heaven where moths cannot eat it, where it will not be damaged or rust, where no one can steal it. For where your treasure is, there is your heart. And our heart is supposed to be on the heavenly things rather than on the earthly. But how much our world tempts us to store up treasures on earth rather than treasures in heaven. So James is saying, you've laid up treasures in the wrong places. Listen, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you have kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You've lived on the earth in luxury and in pleasure. You've nourished your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous one who does not resist you. So the people that he's talking to have been ignoring the poor. They've not been paying daily wages, which is how wages were paid back in those times. You paid the wage of the laborer at the end of that day. He's saying, you've been withholding all of this from people who deserve it, from people who've earned it, from the poor who need it. Your focus has not been on love of neighbor. If you remember his parable, when Jesus talked about the condemnation of the world at the end of days, separating the two into categories and saying, you, every time that you did a work toward your neighbor, you did it for me. And it's, but we never saw you, Lord. And he tells them to see him in the poor. And on the others, you didn't do this for me. And it's, but when would we see you, Lord? And again, in the eyes of the poor, in the eyes of your brother and sister, there you see the face of Jesus. What you did to one of the least of these, you did to me. So when you ignore the poor, you ignore Christ. That's the warning to those who have, who do not provide for those who have not. He moves then into a second grouping, and under this heading is called patience and suffering. Be patient, therefore, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. This is encouragement to endure in hope. The day of the Lord, when will the day of the Lord come? We don't know, in God's own time. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. After all, a farmer does not just plant the seed and when it doesn't come up in a day or two, knock it all down and think it's not good. The farmer knows to wait until the right time. Jesus is coming just as he promised, but he comes in God's time, not ours. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near, but in his time, not in ours. But we are to be prepared, for it can be any time. Brothers and sisters, do not grumble against one another so that you may not be judged. He's already spoken about this before, how our words are to be used to uplift, to build up people in the kingdom, rather than to tear down. See, the judge is standing at the doors. But Jesus is coming. Jesus is the one who judges, not us. For if we judge, who are we to be judges when we can be judged just as well? James says, as an example of suffering and patience, brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. If we look at some of those prophets, especially Jeremiah, you'll see how difficult it was to speak the word of the Lord because people didn't want to hear that word. They didn't want to hear words of condemnation, words that told them that they weren't following the right path, words that told them that the judgment of God would be upon them. They wanted to hear soft and easy and comfortable words. And that's not what the prophets were called to tell them. We look even at John the Baptist, calling on people to prepare their minds and their hearts for the coming of the Messiah. And some listened, and some didn't. It's difficult to speak the word of the Lord and expect people to hear. Indeed, we call blessed those who showed endurance. And we see that in some of the prophets, how over and over God called upon them to do hard things as they preached the word that God gave to them. You've heard of the endurance of Job, who's not necessarily a good example of patience, because even Job lost his patience after a while. But Job endured. Job endured even though his friends ceased to offer him words that he was able to hear. When Job finally turned to God, and God said, well, where were you when the world began? Where were you? And the answer, of course, is, I wasn't, but you were, O God. And Job, in the end, received more than what he had lost. So you've heard of the endurance of Job, and you've seen the outcome that the Lord brought about. For the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Above all, brothers and sisters, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but yet let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. This is an admonition that was also given by Jesus, and we can find that in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one. So this has been a recurrent theme in James, the idea that we need to have integrity in all parts of our being, including our speech. And how difficult that can be. To use our words wisely, to uplift rather than to tear down. How easy it is to say yes when we mean no. I think back to when my children were small, I learned to just say maybe. So to be patient in suffering. This is a word that our world needs to hear right now, doesn't it? When there is so much suffering, the idea that somehow God is in control. And that leads into the last portion, the prayer of faith. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. He goes on and says, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. So this really is, again, about the use of speech, the use of prayer, which is a form of speech, the use of words of healing, knowing that healing comes from the Lord. When I served as a hospital chaplain, we were reminded over and over again that we were not the ones bringing healing. Neither were the doctors, for that matter. That healing comes from God. And healing is not sometimes what we pray that it be. But that God provides the healing that is needed, even if it is not the healing for which we pray. He says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. One of the biggest healings is the healing of relationship. In a perfect world, we would have perfect relationships. In a perfect world, we'd find a marriage partner, and we'd never quarrel. And we would die at the same time so that one would not grieve the death of another. In a perfect world, there would be no divorce. There would be no hardness of hearts. There would be no condemnation of one another in our families. Children would be treated with respect. But this is not a perfect world. And therefore, we need to confess to one another when we've caused injury to one another. And we all need to pray for one another. It's one of the things I like about our prayer chain. It gives us specific instances when we can pray for one another. And I encourage you just to pray for one another. For whatever known or unknown things exist in our lives for which prayer is needed, just pray for one another. And encourage one another and uplift one another, because life is hard and we're in it together. That's what a church is. A church is a place where we are doing this work of living together in one great family of God. So if we hurt one another, we need to confess that sin and forgive one another and pray for one another. And therefore heal one another. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective, he says. He gives another example. Elijah was a human like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. Just an example of faithfulness in prayer. My brothers and sisters, he concludes, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. It may seem like a strange ending to this letter, but it's really what the letter is all about. An encouragement to hear the word and to do the word. And what is the word of the Lord? Love God. Love neighbor. And if the neighbor has strayed away from the path of righteousness, the path of God, We're encouraged to lead them back. Lead them back into the fullness of community. Lead them back from wandering in a life of sin. Lead them back into a place where it becomes easier to walk together rather than to walk alone. For humans are not made to be solitary. Humans are made for companionship. So we're encouraged to reach out to our neighbor and bring them back if they've wandered away from God. So that is the letter of James. You can now say that you have worked your way through one of the books of the Bible, a book that shows us over and over how we are to act as followers of Christ, how we are to use our words, how we are to be examples of ones who use our words appropriately to pray, to praise God, to encourage, to uplift, to support, to forgive, words of healing, words of restoration, words of praise and thanksgiving to our God. In this way, we strengthen our hearts and the hearts of one another and support and encourage one another to grow every day into maturity in Christ. And so let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the words of James that tell us how to use our own words. Help us as we encourage and support one another. Help us as we pray for situations that are in need of prayer. And help us to go beyond prayer to action, to put our faith into action. Help us as we seek to do the word, to love you, to love one another, to love our neighbor. Encourage and support us as we do so. We ask all things in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So let us join together in our hymn of the day, which is Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, number 631.
Oh,
And together let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Challenged by God's word in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and the whole creation.
God of our ancestors, we give thanks for the church in all times. May we listen for the prophets of this age who bear messages that stir the church toward renewal and justice. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Creator of every creature on earth, direct our lives toward the renewal and sustaining of cattle, birds of the air, animals of the field, and those who share our homes. Reveal the ways we can work alongside creation for the health and well-being of all. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Sovereign God, we give thanks that you are mindful and benevolent to even us mere mortals. Accompany us when hardness of heart gets in the way of justice between people and nations. Endow leaders with minds for justice and hearts for compassion. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Restoring God, grant healing and wholeness to those who are sick and suffering, especially those on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Work through medical professionals to diagnose, ease pain, and give life to all who seek their wisdom and experience. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Unifying God, humans were created for relationship with the earth, its creatures, and one another. Forgive us when division threatens companionship, mutual support, and unity among us. May your love inspire us to build supportive communities of faith where all are cherished. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
God of resurrection, you prepare a place in the kingdom through Christ's death and resurrection. We give thanks for the saints who have taken their place at your heavenly banquet, especially those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray. Trusting in the saving grace you freely give, both now and forever. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. We thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings. joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join your unending hymn.
God of abundance,
with his brother in one life and the cup of salvation, you have united us through Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world, and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And as you go out into the world to speak words of comfort, words of consolation, words of redemption, receive this blessing. God Almighty, God most merciful, bless you, keep you, and give you peace.
Amen.
Let us join together in our sending song, number 551, The Spirit Sends Us Forth to Serve.